Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to WTIC's Pet Talk. Today, Lori Fast takes your pet behavior questions. This is a show for you and your best friend. Call in now at 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, or star WTIC from your cell phone if you have AT&T Wireless. And now, Pet Talk.
Hello, and welcome to Pet Talk on WTIC. I misled listeners last week and said that I wasn't going to be here this week and it was going to be the veterinary edition. But what ended up happening was Dr. Dennis had a conflict and I agreed to switch out places. And I had said last week that we were going to have a strict rotation. Me, her, and so on. And some people, if you don't know what I'm talking about, Pet Talk is a show that alternates between myself, which would be the behavior edition, and Dr. Dennis, which is the veterinary edition. And so since I'm covering for her this week, she's going to be taking 2 weeks in a row, so next week and the following week. So if you wanted to speak to her and you're listening to me again, I apologize for that. But anyway, I just wanted to wish everybody a happy Dragon New Year. Today is the Lunar New Year of the Dragon. And I know some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And, you know, just sort of surveying friends of mine if they knew what this was about. Some of them do, some of them don't. But what's interesting about the Dragon Year as an animal is that it's the only animal in this lunar zodiac that's not an actual animal. A dragon, of course, you know, I suppose it's mythological. Maybe some people, maybe if you listen to Coast to Coast, they'll say it's real somewhere. I don't know. But every other year is a cat or a dog or a pig or a snake or something that's an actual real animal. But this year is going to be commemorated by the Dragon Year, and every year is a different animal. And you were born in a certain animal year. You can always look that up. And it's supposed to have certain qualities, and I am not going to get into that because I'm far from an expert on that, but I think it's fun, you know, so we'll be playing dragon music for our bumper music today. So I just wanted to wish everybody happy Dragon New Year. So this is a call-in show, so I'm just going to share the numbers one more time. It's 860-522-WTIC, which is 860-522-9842. And if you want to call in, you're certainly welcome to. And if you want to contact me off the air, just check my website, LoriFassDogTraining.com, and you can get my email and you can get my phone number that way. And I think we have somebody who wants to talk to me. So let's see if we can connect up. Hi, Rose.
Hi. I'm so glad that you're on today. I had in my to-do list to call you.
Okay. All right. Good. What can I help you with?
So I have a long-haired Chihuahua, a female long-haired Chihuahua who just turned 2 last month.
Okay.
And she will roll up on her back and get her tummy rubbed by, like, this guy who's known her all her life.
Yep.
And then when he goes to pull his hand away to leave,
yep,
she lunged at him and bark and, like, she'll almost bite.
Okay. And so is this like a ritual? Is this like something that happens all the time where he's petting her and then he pulls away and then she does this?
It happens with both him and my son.
Okay. So it doesn't happen with other people, just these two?
Well, she won't really let anybody else but me rub her belly.
Okay. So she's kind of like, either you can pet me or you can't pet me, or you can pet me until I have had enough or you're pulling away, then I'm going to go after you. Is that basically?
It's like she's pissed off that you're pulling her, they're pulling her hand away.
Yeah. Well, a lot of dogs, when you move away, will get snappy. It's like you're turning to leave the door, then they're going to get snappy. Or like what you just said, where, you know, you hold your hand out, which is one of the reasons I don't recommend that people hold their hands out and reach for the dog. They'll sniff and they'll look like, oh, yes. And then you move your hand away and then they snap at your hand. So that's not necessarily unique to your dog, although, you know, she seems to be a little conflicted on whether she wants attention or not. So let me ask you this. How much would, well, I guess the first question would be, is how much does it bother either one of these people?
It doesn't bother either one of them at all.
Okay. And is she actually biting or she's just snapping?
She's just snapping.
How much does she weigh?
4.8 pounds.
Okay. So she can't bite off too big of a chunk.
No,
she may have a little trouble fitting it in her mouth. Well, you know what? I mean, there are things that you could probably do to work on it. For example, they could maybe wear a glove and then just keep, when they pull their hand away, go back to do it again, do it again, do it again, do it again. But to be honest with you, neither one of them care, and she's not hurting anybody. So I don't even know that it matters.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, I mean, just to be the behavior, I have two dogs,
yeah.
And my other one is half long-haired Chihuahua and half Pomeranian.
Okay.
And she is the most social dog in the world. We've been cross-country twice. I can take her anywhere.
Right.
And perfectly behaved.
Well, I mean, it's always more pleasant to have a dog who's themselves acting more pleasant, but
yes.
If you look at the big picture here, she's not hurting anybody. They don't care. So, you know, why do we want to spend time trying to fix something that nobody really cares?
Well, you got a point. You got a point there.
I mean, if she was actually biting them, then we might have a different conversation, you know, but she's not. So, you know, I mean, it's funny. I have a friend who is a dog trainer as well, and we'll sometimes talk about little dogs that act aggressive and do things like this, and then we'll laugh because it's, you know, if you had a German Shepherd or a Rottweiler or a St. Bernard or something doing like something like that, it doesn't take much for them to inflict a lot of harm. Just even whacking you with their open mouth can open up a pretty big lesion, never mind clamping down and really hurting you. So, you know, we have a little tiny dog that's acting all Cujo, and it's just like, yeah. You know, nice try, buddy. Well, you know, but if that's her fantasy, you know, maybe she thinks she's a dragon. I don't know.
Oh, well, I'll tell you, she is very protective over me. If she thinks someone is going to hurt me, she will go after them.
Yeah. But, you know, again, it's what's the big picture here? And, you know, I don't think, you know, how many people are going to be scared of her and what problems is it really creating? And, you know, if you're looking to solve a problem like that, I mean, this probably sounds funny coming from me because I'm a dog trainer. And so that's what I do. But, you know, it's kind of like if it's not broken, why fix it? Who even cares?
Yeah. You know, I never thought of it that way.
Yeah. So that's an easy one. Just leave it be. Let her have her little dramatic outburst, and then we can all laugh about it.
We all do.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just, you know, she's harmless. She's melodramatic, you know, big deal.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. You've given me a new spin on looking at it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'd probably find it funny, you know, so. So enjoy it. It's, you know, she's a little tiny dog, and that is one of the many things that we can overlook with little teeny dogs that, you know, if she were a different dog, it might be another answer to the question.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Okay,
I enjoy listening to
you. Well, thanks for calling. Good to hear from you. Okay.
Have a good day.
Okay, so that solved that problem. Anyway, I guess we should go to a break, and we'll be right back.
Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Hanalei. Little Jackie Paper loved that rascal Puff and brought him strings and sealing wax and other fancy stuff. Oh, Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea.
Hello, and welcome back to Pet Talk on WTIC. We're playing dragon music today because today is the first day of the Lunar New Year, Year of the Dragon. So if you're wondering why I'm playing dragon music, that's why. Anyway, before the break, we had a caller with a little chihuahua who is kind of being a little snappy-ish, but not actually hurting anybody. And, you know, I was thinking that when dogs are that small, you know, we're talking 3, 4, or 5 pounds, that range, they do a lot of things that most people just laugh it off. And sometimes it gets out of hand. Sometimes we really do need an intervention. But years ago, I had a little chihuahua who was about 4 pounds, and her name was Juanita. And she barked like many chihuahuas do, but she was actually quite friendly. And I remember one day I had her out front with me, and somebody was delivering something, and they didn't want to deliver the package. And they were holding back, and they were pointing at the dog. I was like, you know, I kind of made a gesture with my hand where I'm holding out two index fingers, you know, about 4 inches apart, because that's about how big she was, and kind of shrugging my shoulders. But you know what? I mean, if somebody's afraid of something, they're afraid of something. You know, I can't argue with that. So I picked her up, going to be respectful. But most people, you know, see a little teeny tiny dog like that, and it's not exactly threatening. It's more entertaining than anything else. But I wanted to talk about a news story that maybe many of you saw, and if not, I'm going to tell you about it, about a woman in California who was having lunch outside at Whole Foods, and she had her French bulldog named Onyx outside with her. And, you know, when I hear about these kinds of things, you know, I want to know details. But what ended up happening is her dog got stolen. And what made it particularly kind of dramatic was the person who stole the dog jumped into a car, and the woman who owned the dog jumped in front of the car trying to stop the car, which, you know, I guess that makes sense, you know, trying to stop the car. But the people that were in the car were not really concerned that she was standing in front of the car and just continued to drive. And so she ended up on the hood of the car and hanging on the windshield wipers. And this went on for several blocks until she finally fell off the car. And then they took off with her dog. Well, I guess the people that stole the dog were arrested, but it's kind of sketchy to me if they actually got the dog back or not. I don't have any real confirmation on that. But, you know, I always want to know, well, how do these things happen? You know, not necessarily because I have morbid curiosity, but more on the sense of, well, how, if we know more about how this happened, maybe we could be a little more mindful of not having this happen to somebody else. And so one of the things that was happening when she was eating lunch was that her dog was off leash and just kind of wandered off a little bit. So when this other woman picked up her dog, at first she thought the woman was maybe confused and thought maybe the dog got away or was lost or didn't belong to somebody. And so she tried to just walk up to her and, you know, so, oh, hey, that's my dog, you know, thank you, whatever. And that, as we already know, did not happen. But I think to myself, okay, you know, you're in a public place and you're just kind of letting your dog wander about. This maybe wouldn't have happened at all if the dog was on a leash and right next to her. Now, you know, I do hear of stories where people are assaulted. I mean, there was that whole publicized Lady Gaga thing where her dog walkers were assaulted with a gun and her French bulldogs were stolen. But if you're in a public area with a lot of people and it's daytime and you have your dog right next to you on a leash, the likelihood of that happening is slim to none. So the difference between, you know, her having to worry about is her dog dead or alive, is she ever going to see her dog ever again, might simply have been a matter of having her dog on a leash. And, you know, I'm not to beat this point home over and over and over again, but there are so many situations where people allow their dogs to have way too much freedom, and then they have confrontation with wildlife, or in this case, her dog was stolen. And if you can kind of think one step ahead of things, even though it might seem a little dreary or restrictive, isn't it worth it? You know, so, you know, obviously, I don't want to blame the victim, but, you know, if you're someplace with your dog and they're wandering around, you might want to really be careful about where you're doing that. And this could, in my opinion, have been so easily prevented, it's worth talking about. So anyway, we have Bob on the phone here. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Lori. How you doing?
I'm good.
Hey, about a year ago or so, I called you up about me and my daughter had two boys, Goose and Tuck, and they're doing good. And then my daughter started feeding a stray outside. He said, be careful about bringing in this, you know, and everything. But we, next thing you know, she's inside, but we separate her. We put her in the living room, which has the French doors. And long story short, we got her fixed and everything. She passed all her tests. She was very healthy.
Okay.
And now they're all getting along like chums, like they've been together their whole life.
Oh, that's great. That's good news.
Yeah, because I think at some point you were apprehensive about the two boys being together their whole life, which is only a year and a half.
Yeah.
And this new cat come in. And at first it was kind of touch and go. You know, there was a lot of, you know, strolling. And now it's like, oh, they all run around and chase each other. And it's pretty darn cool.
So how old are the male cats?
Yeah, Tuck and Goose are about a year and a half now.
Okay. Do you have any idea how old the other little female is?
She's about a year. When we brought her to get fixed and their tests and everything, and, you know, for a stray cat, they said she's perfect. She had no disease or nothing. So we got her fixed and everything. And we put her in our dining room there, or living room, for a couple of weeks, you know, keep apart.
Right.
And they're looking at each other, sticking their hands under the doors. like I say, it was pretty touch and go for a while.
Well, I think most cats are, you know, a little bent out of shape if a new cat comes to town. I have dogs and cats, and most of my cats are, if I bring a dog in for some reason or another, they go, oh boy, yeah, okay, whatever. But if a new cat is around, it's like, wait a minute, what's going on with this? But I think what you had going for you here is that they were all very young and still quite kittenish. And,
right.
You know, you were saying how they like to play and run around and have fun. And so
they're doing great now. Like I say, for the first couple of weeks, it was like, you know, a little snarling and everything. And I told my daughter, I said, I think this Lola, because she's a showgirl, that's the girl cat. I think her cousins are around outside. I said, Chris, stop feeding the cats, because otherwise we're going to have like seven cats in there.
Oh, boy.
And we stop feeding them and they're gone. I mean, we can't save the world, you know.
That's so sad.
Yeah. So, hey, we took one off the streets anyhow.
Yeah.
So
what town do you live in?
Waterbury.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, a lot of times people want to know, you know, how animals are going to get along. And that's one of those things that you don't know till you try it.
Right.
And like you were describing, if you were going to go based on their first introduction, it wouldn't have looked great, you know, but you persisted and they got used to each other. So that is often the case. And especially, I think, with cats, because I don't really expect it's rare. I'm going to say it's rare that you have a cat that's just going to embrace some new cat that they've never seen before and say, oh, hey, buddy, come on in. Whereas a lot of dogs will. you know?
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of normal cat behavior, to be a little more suspicious of strange cats. So,
worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You know, if you're going to see if it's going to work, you really do have to give it the time.
I mean, she still doesn't really let me pet her too much, but one time when she was in lockup, actually she had the biggest, nicest room of the whole house.
Yeah.
You know, and she had three squares a day. So I went in there, you know, do the kitty litter box and everything, and she was over on another couch, and I said, let me just sit down on this other couch.
Yeah.
Low, and it took like about a minute or two, and then next thing you know, she hops over and she's sitting on my lap.
Yeah.
Oh, we're cool. We're friends. And then once she got out of quarantine, she's back. Now she won't really let me pet her. But when it's dinner time, she's right around my ankle. So,
you got to be patient, too. She's used to living with other cats. And she's not used to living with humans. So, it's going to take her a little while to get more trust with you. But it sounds like you're moving in the right direction.
All three of them get along fine. I told my daughter, I said, we ought to get like a Christmas picture with these guys. you got the two boy cats that are, gray or whatever. Not gray.
So the tabby?
Yeah, tabbies, yep. Uh-huh. And actually, they look totally different. So one must have the mother's traits and the father's trait. And then you got the black and white fluffy one.
Yeah.
So they're totally different, but they're all getting along. I just wanted to let you know that.
Oh, well, that's good news.
Good.
Well, that's great.
Yep.
You know, it's always good to hear a happy ending to a story, right?
Yep.
Okay, well, thanks.
I listen to you guys every week, so
well, thanks for letting me know, and I hope you enjoy all your little cat
buddies. One more thing. When I went to pick up Lola from getting fixed, I wasn't really sure where Wolcott Veterinary was, so I come down across Route 69, and there's an officer of construction, and it's the animal control. I go, hey, do you know where Wolcott is? Well, you know, the animal hospital. She pointed up and she goes, thank you very much for taking care of your kitties.
Yeah,
you
that's nice. Well, we got to go to a break, but thanks for calling.
Okay,
thanks, I appreciate
Lord.
It. Okay, take care.
Right, bye-bye.
Look all around you and see. Deep in the forest, there dragons will be.
Hello, and welcome back to WTIC's Pet Talk. I'm playing dragon music today because today is the first day of the Lunar New Year, and the animal representing this year is the dragon. So if you're into that kind of thing, you probably already know that. And if you're not, you might wonder what in the heck I'm talking about. But I like it. I think it's fun. So just sharing that, and hopefully it'll be a great year for everybody. So before the break, I just want to share the numbers if you want to call in. It's 860-522-WTIC. I'm here until 2 o'clock, so lines are open if you want to call in. That's great. If you want to talk to me, but maybe you can't right now or you didn't think of something, you think of it later, you can always contact me off the air and check my website, which is LoriFassDogTraining.com. But before the break, I was talking about a news story where a French bulldog was stolen from someone who was having lunch, eating outside. The dog wasn't on a leash. Somebody grabbed it. She tried to stop them. She tried to stand in front of the car. The car just drove right into her. She was on the hood of the car. As far as I know, this dog has not been recovered. But, you know, maybe she'll get it back. I certainly hope so. But I think people don't realize how common it is for dogs to be stolen. And I think that it's wise for people to be aware of this because, you know, if you are, then you're probably going to take greater precautions than you might otherwise. And so I, you know, took a little time looking up some stuff online about dog theft and some of the statistics and that sort of thing. And according to what it says online, which, you know, may or may not be completely accurate, there's something like 2 million dogs a year who are stolen. And I'm not sure how people would distinguish a dog who's stolen versus a dog who just escaped or got away. Or in some cases, dogs get loose and people think that the dog is abandoned or in distress. I remember many years ago, there was a man who had some disabilities and he had a little chow puppy who was very well cared for, but the puppy somehow got loose and was walking down the street and somebody picked it up, assuming that the dog had just been abandoned there. So they were trying to be a good Samaritan, but they never called the dog warden, which is what you're supposed to do, or, you know, reached out and said, hey, I found this puppy. And because he had some disabilities and because it was a cute little puppy, it did turn into a news story. And once it was on the news, then the person who was thinking they were being a good Samaritan realized that they weren't and that this puppy belong to somebody. And it really, honestly, if you're using a little common sense, it should be fairly obvious that this was a very well taken care of little puppy. It wasn't at all thin. It was very well groomed. So the likelihood of somebody taking a puppy like that and just dumping it are pretty slim to none. And, you know, even if a dog gets loose and they're loose for a week or something like that, they can look pretty bedraggled. And that doesn't mean that they don't have a home. So, you know, I think sometimes people are trying to do a good deed, but they're really not. So that people are maliciously and purposefully breaking into cars or taking dogs out of yards or whatever, that does happen. But I don't know that that's always the case. So I'm just kind of questioning this this actual statistic of 2 million dogs a year being stolen. But what I did think was interesting was that they said that the most common dogs that are stolen are purebred dogs. Well, that's not really shocking if you're stealing a dog with the purpose in mind of trying to resell it and make money. But what was a little bit interesting is that the most commonly stolen dog breed was a Labrador. And I think French Bulldogs are going to be a close second because they become, according to AKC registration, the most popular breed of dog, and it used to be Labradors. But the reason that I wanted to mention that Labradors were commonly stolen is because when I say to people you need to be careful and they have a bigger dog, they seem to think that because their dog is a bigger dog that it won't be stolen. And that's absolutely not true. I remember I was speaking with someone who had I think she had four golden retrievers, and she lived in kind of a busy neighborhood on a corner lot with a lot of traffic. And, you know, she had called me because there were some other problems that I'm not even going to get into right here. But I said to her, you know, if you leave your dogs out, were you, first of all, the way she had the invisible fence or whatever brand it was set up, the dogs could walk right up to the sidewalk. You know, if you think somebody's not going to steal your dog, you are sadly mistaken. It's so common, it's horrifying, really. So you're leaving your dogs loose to wander about behind basically no fence at all, and you think somebody's not going to take your dog? Well, you know, you're just walking on real thin ice. And I was trying to get her to understand that this was extremely dangerous. But, you know, I think a lot of times when people do things that are not really a good idea, and a lot of things might fall into that category, until something really bad happens, they're just not going to even think that it's a problem. But, you know, talking about fences, well, you know, an underwire type system doesn't offer any protection to any animal who's behind it, even if the animal is well trained enough and the system is great and they're not going to cross the line. That doesn't mean another animal or person can't come onto your property, take the collar off, and take your dog. And in fact, I remember somebody telling me that somebody walked onto their property and took the collar off the dog. And in this case, they saw him do it. And the reason that they were doing it was not because they wanted to steal the dog, but because they thought that it was mean and the dog should be able to have more freedom. So thank you very much for putting the dog in harm's way. And now it can run in the road, possibly get run over. But people do ridiculous things. And if you have, for example, let's say you have a 4-foot fence, nothing stopping anybody from just leaning over your fence and grabbing your dog. And you don't think people do this? Oh, yes, they do. And for that matter, your fence should be locked. If somebody can just open your fence, somebody might just open your fence. I've heard of this happening for all sorts of reasons, sometimes just mischievous, sometimes just, you know, somebody, I don't even know, it's a kid or it's something stupid, or sometimes it's very purposeful. So, you know, I try to get people to look at their animals as, you know, for some people they're saleable commodities, and you probably wouldn't take, you know, some family valuable and stick it outside on a tie out or put it in a fence that somebody could easily just open and take. You know, you wouldn't do that. So you really shouldn't be doing that with your dogs either, because it's far too common of a thing, and it's pretty bad. So, you know, I'm just trying to share that with people. Maybe somebody out there might think twice about what they're doing, but it should not be easy to open your fence. And in my opinion, you shouldn't be leaving your dog outside if you're not home. And I don't care under what circumstances, whether they're behind an actual physical fence or, you know, certainly not one of those underwire systems, because there's just too many things that can go wrong. And that story with the French bulldog being taken, as I said before, had that dog been right next to her on a leash, I wouldn't even probably be having this discussion, okay? So, you know, please be careful. And, you know, if something like this happens to you, I can just only imagine how somebody might feel, because you don't, I mean, it's almost worse than knowing that your dog got hit by a car and now they passed away, because you don't know what's going to happen. And I think very often if somebody steals a dog, and now this particular dog is very distinct looking, it's a black merle kind of color with two different colored eyes, you know, you're going to have a hard time selling that dog with all the media coverage that you've just gotten. So there's a pretty good shot that they're just going to take this dog and dump it somewhere. And if you don't know what's happening with your pet, that's just not good at all. So let's try to all be careful and not put our dogs in those kind of positions and try to keep things safe. And I think we need to go to a break. We'll be right back.
So lay down your head till the dawn comes anew, for here there be dragons to watch over you. Dream now.
Hello,
my baby.
And welcome back to WTIC's Pet Talk. You're listening to Lori Fass on this Behavior Edition of the show. the next week and the week after that will be the veterinary edition with Dr. Andrea Dennis. And then after that, we'll be switching back and forth unless something else comes up, which it might. Can't guarantee it. But I always post on my website. When I know when I'm going to be on the air, I do post it on my website, both for my own reference purposes and also people will ask me and I just say, check my website because I can't always memorize all of this. And I try to keep our producer, Kevin, in the loop so he knows too. Anyway, I was talking about animals being stolen, and one of the things that I want to mention is that if your animal is missing for whatever reason, you really need to check animal shelters and get some pictures going and actually go and look for yourself. Right now, I think a lot of the animal shelters post pictures of dogs that they've taken in, which is very, very good, because in the past, when you didn't have a way to actually visually see what animals they had and didn't have, one of the problems that came up is that people were describing the animals incorrectly. They would say that they're this breed or that breed, and they absolutely were not even close to that. And so if you're looking for a particular type of dog and it's being described differently, then obviously you're not going to think it's your dog. But, you know, you certainly want to go that route. And I think that it's a very good idea to have your pet microchipped, because you hear stories of animals being reunited with their family weeks, months, even years after they've gone missing because of that. So, you know, just want everybody to be safe and careful and try to use some caution. So another news story that, not to talk about alarming news stories this week, but I guess I'm talking about alarming news stories. There was a story about a woman who had a pregnant bulldog, and the dog was not quite going into labor. And bulldogs, generally speaking, are delivered C-section. So, you know, if you know anything about bulldogs, you already know that that's the case. So somehow or another, the owner of this dog found somebody who claimed that they were a retired veterinarian and that they could perform a C-section on their pregnant bulldog and charge them only $600, as opposed to if you go to a legitimate veterinary practice, it's going to be somewhere between $2,000 and $4,000. So for whatever reason, the owner of this dog believed this, which kind of already is like, yeah, you know, I mean, let me sell you a bridge next year, only $29.95. But so she takes the dog, and the conditions are pretty deplorable. It's a kitchen table. People are smoking pot. You know, it's like, hello, something's not right here. So apparently this fake veterinarian does this C-section, and I think there were maybe six puppies. They all survived. She stitches the dog back up. The dog doesn't immediately die, but then she tells the owner of the dog, well, you know, your dog might not end up doing very well because there's a hole in the dog's uterus. And so, I mean, I don't know about you, but I think if somebody was doing some surgery on a kitchen table with a bunch of pot-smoking assistants and tells me there's a hole in my dog's uterus, I think I might immediately want to bring the dog to a legitimate veterinarian to get this squared away, which she eventually did. But when she eventually did, the dog's condition was described as grave and guarded. And so at that point, she decided, well, you know what? Maybe I'll just say forget it and just have the dog put down. And good news is all the puppies are hanging in there. They're all alive. But it's just, I'm so flabbergasted by this whole thing on so many different levels. So clearly the person who's posing as the fake veterinarian is in a lot of deep doo-doo for a variety of reasons. But what about the dog owner? I mean, people get duped by things. A common thing is, you know, people send deposits to, you know, online breeders and they're really not, and they end up wasting money on absolutely nothing, or they get a sick dog or something quite different than what they thought. But you're bringing your animal for surgery And as soon as you walk in the door and they say, okay, we're going to set you up on the kitchen table over here, I think that might be a real good reason to turn around and leave. And I'm sure that whatever vet bill she had, even if she did decide to have the dog put down, just the exam and the euthanasia and whatever else, that must have cost some money too. So if you take that and you take the heartbreak and you take, you know, your $600 you paid to this kook job, and maybe just did it right the first time, we wouldn't even have this. But, you know, it's just astonishing to me that people would even consider. I mean, I don't know what kind of experience, medical experience, this woman who's doing a C-section on a dog had. You know, it's just like outrageous. But I guess the takeaway here is use a little common sense. You know, come on. If somebody's going to do some surgery on their kitchen table, that's a big fat no. We're not doing it. And if you have a pregnant bulldog, yeah, it's going to need a C-section. And if you're not, I mean, bulldogs in general are very high maintenance from the point of view of medical care. And so if you don't think you're up for the task, maybe you shouldn't be getting a bulldog, or maybe you shouldn't be getting a dog at all. But I just thought, wow, I mean, you hear a lot of crazy stories about people pretending they're something they're not. There was some story about a woman in Connecticut who I think was in Florida who was saying she was a dog trainer, and she had a history of getting dogs and then they die, and she's still doing it. It's like, what are you even, like, starving these dogs to death? I mean, there's all kinds of crazy people out there pretending to have expertise in areas that they clearly do not at all. And so, you know, again, things are not always what they seem, not even close. So just be careful, okay? And even if you're going to a good, legitimate vet, you want to be able to ask questions and, you know, find alternatives or have a educated conversation about what's going on, not just slap your dog on a kitchen table. That's nuts. But anyway, you know, I guess I'm listening to too many stories, news stories about pets. So I had an experience this past week, which I wanted to share with you. I was working with a little Bieber Terrier puppy, which is like a Yorkshire Terrier, but it's got some white on it. It's one of the newer AKC registered breeds. Very cute little dog. So imagine a Yorkie with some little white markings on it as well. So we were outside in this condo area when all of a sudden this woman, little furry white dog, gets loose and starts running all around. And the woman who's trying to recapture her dog is saying to this dog, sit, 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 sit. And I couldn't help it. I said, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. And so every time she reached down to try and grab the dog would kind of duck away. And it wasn't like really, really trying to get away, but it didn't want to get picked up because it was having too much fun. So I took a leash and made a loop with it, where I took the end of the leash and stuck it through the handle. So it was kind of like a big loop, and sort of dropped it on the dog. And then I was able to pull it tight, as opposed to looking like I'm going to take the time to put the collar on. And so that worked. And I said, well, let's figure out, you know, how this happened. And did your dog back out of the collar? And she says, yeah, yeah, I think so. And so she tried to put the collar back on. And as soon as she put the collar back on, the collar immediately fell off again. It's just like, okay, we just realized this is not a good collar. Let's not use this collar. And I think the problem was that it was like a buckle collar, and the threading was just too small, and she was not able to thread it through so that she could really latch it. And so I hooked up another leash for her. She took the dog home. But I guess what this kind of brings to mind is the frequency with which people have improperly fitting equipment on their dogs, and their dogs get away. And one of the most common ways that that happens is people put collars on much too loose because they think it's nicer, because they don't want it to be too tight. And the dog figures out if they just back up, freedom. And this can happen with harnesses too. So if you're trying to figure out if you've got a well-fitting leash or harness, actually try to pull it off. and, you know, use a little bit of force here. And if you can, it's not safe. So, you know, don't think, oh, I'm being nice because this is nice and loose and this is kind and nice. Because then if your dog gets loose, we have big trouble, because it just so happens that this condo area was very near a big major road. So just, you know, another cautionary tale. Let's make sure that all our collars and harnesses are fitting properly before we take our dogs out into potentially dangerous circumstances. And I guess that's just going to about wrap it up for this week's edition of Pet Talk, and Dr. Dennis will be on next week.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.